Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Lord, I just thank you. You do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or even think, according to the power that works in us, which is you. We pray, God, that you would allow your word to go forth like a mighty hammer, breaking up the fallow ground of the heart, that we might hear clearly what thus saith the Lord. Where the enemy thinks he's come in and robbed us, I declare, God, that when you catch a thief, according to the scripture, he has to return what he's stolen plus seven. So I declare that that sevenfold blessing is upon us even today. So God, now think through this mind and speak through this mouth, and let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. And every glad, happy, blessed heart say, amen. Okay. Now we got to get down to business, and I got to get in it quick. Okay. Beginning of the year, we started the year with the word God gave to go along with harvest time called outpouring. It's according to Isaiah 55, which simply says, so shall my word be that goes forth, and it shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that whereto I send it, and it shall prosper wheresoever it goes. That means the word of God is always coming out, and God is always making good on his word. Even before you got here, there was a word about you. Remember, Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mama's womb, and I ordained you to be a prophet. He instructs you in the room. All the days of your life was written in the book before you did which one. So when God begins to speak a word to you, that's the most clear thing that happens. Something comes alive on the inside of you, and you need to hear this word about you over and over and over and over again for you to make it. Now, you might feel in your life that you're far from the word that God spoke about you, and in fact, don't even feel like you can do the work to get back to being that person. But when God begins to speak a word to you that confirms who he made you to be, it is not work. It is just agreement. And living in the outpouring is simply learning to live in agreement. So let's deal with the darkness that might be in your life that's trying to prevent the outpouring. And we have to go all the way back to the beginning of time to see where God defeated what's trying to prevent the outpouring of his word in your life. In the beginning, their darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's how the earth began. It was darkness and void. And then the spirit hovered or moved over the waters. And then God said, let there be light. Light in me be. God spoke in the dark moment a word that brought light and life. Remember, it is the entrance of his word that brings light and life. To start an outpouring, you need the word, and it brings light and life. So no matter how dark your life feels, no matter how dark it is, no matter what your past has been, no matter how many times you messed up, no matter if you're divorced, or no matter if you're the culprit in the situation, if you're the abused or the abuser, whether you have done harm to others, they've done harm to you, no matter how desperate your life has become, God's decisions about you have not changed. You may reflect upon yourself different. Society may look upon you differently, but God does not look upon you differently, because Moses was called a deliverer before he got here, killed a man, went to the backside of the desert, and was still God's man as a deliverer to bring millions of people out. God's story has not been fully realized or actualized in your life yet, and you don't need to stop the outpouring. You need to get in the flow and get positioned to get the outpouring activated in your life. So if I was going to title this message today, it would be Activating the Outpouring. And when you activate an outpouring, that means you see what the problem is, holding it back. We're about to deal with the problem. Then once you can see the problem, you can recognize your weakness to deal with it. And there's where we normally see a problem and think you're going to talk your way out of it. You see a problem and think you're going to pay money to get out of it. You see a problem and you just think you're going to muscle your way out of it. There is no problem that you're going to articulate or become cognizant of that is going to require anything less than prayer and communion and communication with God to get the breakthrough. The third point of this message will be that once you have gotten toward prayer, then you will have communed and communicated with God to get in the right positioning for the pouring. There's one thing for God to tell you there's a word for your life. There's another thing to be in the wrong position to get it. He told you it's going to be pouring rain over here, but you're standing over there. You need to move into the right position to receive the pouring. So you got to see the problem. Then you got to recognize you can't handle it. So you need to pray and fast. Add some fasting to it. Now, that's lost a lot of y'all on the fast part. But I was with you, Pastor James, and you say fasting. You know I'm hungry right now. Hungry right now. Because you know when somebody say fast, and you think about all the stuff you want to eat. Now, I know that happened to you because the fast coming up tomorrow. So I got to load up tonight. You know that's not scriptural, but you know, biblical. But you, I'm going to do that. I'm going to pray my strength. I'm praying yours. Okay? So, and then you can get positioned for the pouring. Now, let's deal with how dark this world has become so you can understand why do we need an outpouring initiated. Okay? Go to Timothy, please. 2 Timothy 3:1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be, and the King James says, perilous times. For people will be lovers of self and lovers of money. When you love money, you'll do anything for it. When you love money, you will disregard what you do to hurt other human beings to get it. You'll disregard, for instance, when you participate in pornography. If you knew that the pornography you participated in was aiding in sex trafficking or keeping someone into a situation against their will to be objectified and dehumanized by another person, then that little temporary gratification that you were going getting, you wouldn't do it because you have to devalue another human's life to do it. See, that's dark times. Not a lot of amens on that in church. You know, amen. Y'all should be shouting me down from the stage. Shout me down from the stage. Like, it's a harsh amens. Baritone amens. Amen. Yeah. Quick. Proud. Arrogant. Abusive. Again, we talked about that several weeks ago. You know, being a man, it cannot be about your bravado and how you can lead because you can raise your voice, how you can use your strength. Your strength is not designed to intimidate and be abusive toward those you're to cover. It's a covering for them. You can't, just because you're strong, it's abusive when you use your words that are backed up by your physical physique and strength, and it produces fear versus it producing a sense of security. So I know I'm a big guy. So when I don't need to protect somebody, I have to constantly be letting people know I'm safe place to love and nurture. Okay, that's another message. Man, we got to get some amens going quick. I got a long message. It's come on. Okay. Disobedient to parents. I don't care how old or senior my mom becomes. She's still my mom. Unless she's telling me to rob a bank, I'm going to do what she says. Ungrateful. Unholy. Let's stop on unholy. Ooh, people don't like that. People, in fact, they'll teach you a holy roller. Well, hold on. He's holy. He said, be holy as I am holy. That's why no matter how much the governing officials try to change God's holy laws or standards, it don't affect it. For instance, God established that marriage is between one man and one woman. That's what he did. That's not what I did. That's not what the government. That's not a political party. That's the party of God. He established it. That's who established. You can't be mad at nobody but God. So when somebody wants to change the rules, we as Christians, we don't have to get upset. Because every time somebody departs from God's definition of a word, it's no longer yours. Because we don't believe in marriage. We believe in holy matrimony. See, you didn't catch that. Because, see, you call it what you want, but the kind we talk about is the holy kind. That's according to God's holy ordinances, his rules, his standards, his setup, his makeup. You see, dark times come, but that doesn't change the word. Oh, heartless. Unappeasable. You ever met an unappeasable person? Probably you. Did I say that in church? Slanderous. Without self-control. Brutal. Not loving good. Treacherous. Reckless. Swollen with conceit. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Stay away from them. Now that list was long. You're probably running next to them all the time. Now what he's not trying to say here is don't minister to them. What he's not trying to say is be an elitist. What he's not trying to say is be so high that you don't even want to condescend to people who think. No, you want to be a reprover. You want to be the light that they need to lead them out. You don't want to be in agreement with the darkness because you've refused to shine your light. And every time you refuse to shine your light, it's proving that the outpouring is not alive in you. What happens is all of those words begin to constantly invade your spirit and darken it, because there's not a constant outpouring of God's spirit, God's words, to light you up. And all of a sudden, their darkness becomes light. And all of a sudden, that which would be just repulsive is just okay. You know, it was a time in our society where we fought vigorously against abortion, which is just murder of millions of babies that are unborn, because we recognize that we have destinies before we get in the womb. But for some reason, our voice has become dampened and there's no cry. We don't see the problem we have. Because when we see the problem, the only result is to pray. When you see the problem, you pray until you get in the position God wants you to do for a pouring that will be the antivirus for the virus in the community. Oh, it may hit you later. That's okay. That's all right. I'm where I gotta be right now. Okay. There was a landmark court case that changed the landscape of our nation. It happened June 25th, 1962. I believe it was Engle versus Vital. And it simply was the decree by the Supreme Court that removed prayer from schools. The prayer was a simple 10-12 words. It said, "We beg your God to bless us, our families, our teacher, and our nation." That's it. The Bible says in Romans 1, we claim to be wise and become fools. Now, how did that help us? It didn't. But the greater question is, if you see the erosion, you must get this part to understand the text that's to come. If you can grasp the impact of what has happened to our society as a result of removing God from the educational institutions and what's happened in the homes and all these other places, then you'll be able to see how dark the day has become and how much our voice has been quieted. And you'll have to ask yourself the question, will I keep going silently into the night? Joel 2. Joel is one of the prophets of God, and his job, you're going to see, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to read portions of it to end our time together to make these points. But the way that Joel speaks is almost threefold. That's how all the Old Testament prophets would speak. They would speak on things that are currently happening, a pending danger, and a long-term danger you have with God, seeing the problem. First verse, he starts off in Joel 2. He says, blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming and is near. He goes on in these verses to talk about a natural disaster where locusts have come and eaten everything. He then talks about an enemy that's coming to destroy Judah if they don't repent or relent. He goes on to talk about the final judgment that's spoken about in Revelations, when he himself will come back and judge all of us who didn't turn and repent and deal with the problems. He starts this thing out with saying, cry loud. And another verse says, cry loud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. My question to you, as you look on the problem of society, if you look at the problems in life, are you being silent or are you blowing the trumpet? Are you just looking at problems? Look at that. That's just terrible. Oh, God. The news is just hard to see it in. Oh, my goodness. Are you content to look? Or are you going to cry loud? How can they hear without the preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? He told the disciples, he breathed on them. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. They got a word. Then he says, go into all the world and preach the good news. But then he says, wait in Jerusalem. Wait until you get power. You see, you got a problem that the words you've had up until now haven't been sufficient enough to solve. The disciples, you were with Jesus. You got a word from him. But it wasn't enough of an outpouring. It wasn't enough of a conviction. It didn't come heavy enough and clear enough that when you got out there in the battlefield that you wouldn't turn and run when you saw how dark the day is, how big the enemy is, and how much it might cost you your life. When the first word came that Jesus was going to die, they ran because it would cost them their life. When the next word came and they got under the outpouring of the Spirit and it was going to cost them their life, they say, for God I live and for God I die. They didn't care anymore. They stopped hiding. They came out of the dark and they went into the light. Some of them were beaten. Some of them were publicly ridiculed. Some of them were driven out and cast out. But the word had come and the word had come again. The revelation had gotten so clear that they cannot leave in this world and just look at evil and then turn away as if evil doesn't exist. Stop waiting, brothers and sisters and my beloved, on some superhuman superhero to show up. Spider-Man and Superman have ruined us. We actually think they're coming.
Well, you know, he.
You are the supernatural man and woman that God has sent to give change to this wicked and dark and perverse world. You are the answer to the problem. And something is trying to creep in and cause you to fall to sleep. Darkness. It makes you focus. It makes you become selfish. What's happening to me? When is my time? I got to be concerned about myself. Nobody gonna think about me. I think about me. Where is that in the Bible? I thought the Bible says, think not every man on his own needs, but on the needs of others. He said, because Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. Die to yourself. I came up with a policy, therefore. I would never, ever, 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 ever walk past a crime. See kids at the movie theater smoking. Put that cigarette out. You know, I will snatch it right out your mouth. Now, you don't have to take that approach because that's just my style. But I'm more, you don't let me catch you smoking. If their parents won't do it, who you think gonna do it? The Bible says, when wickedness rules, it's because a righteous man or woman is hiding. But righteousness is what exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The righteous must stand up. The righteous must see. They don't just have a problem. See, they've already won some battles. Saints, they won the battle seemingly against with abortion. It seems like they got some battles in society that they're winning. Like in Joel, when locusts had already come and eaten up all the crops, but yet he's giving them a warning about another enemy that's coming to take even more than what the locust is taking. And he said, do you want to get a word that will deal with that? Or do you want to get another enemy coming in and robbing you again? That's what Joel is saying. Church, what do we want to do? Do we want to see the problem and see the opportunity we have to solve the problem? Then he goes on to say, that your ultimate problem is not even with man, it's with me. Because if you think that a natural disaster is bad, if you think an army coming in is bad, I'm coming on the day of judgment. And I'm coming to destroy this earth. And I'm coming to find out who did what I said and who did not do what I said. I hate to remind you, but you are not your own. And you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your bodies. We who are reconciled have been given the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. Therefore, you are an ambassador of Christ. And you must dispel the word. You must give it out everywhere you go. You are a city that sits on a hill that cannot be hidden. You cannot be hidden. You don't light something and then put it under a bushel. No, it's put on a lampstand. You are the light of the world. Prayer. Take me to my next verses, please. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. This is all he wants. He wants some repentance. Let's not live in the past. Well, we lost that battle. We lost this battle. We got today. He said, with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. He said, rent your hearts and not just your garments. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, bounding. Look, he just wants us to change, directing. He's so merciful that he comes in and he invades the comfort of our life and says, this is not about your job. This is not about furnishing your home. This is not about having a career. This is about advancing kingdom purposes. And I know the enemy may have that so far down on your list that you can't feel heaven's glory coming up, pressuring you to do what the will of the Lord is. But this is the will of the Lord. And until you get on your knees and start realizing we got a problem, not just with nature and not just with man. I got a problem with God. And if I don't solve it, he's coming. Stop worrying about what the world's going to do to you. It's going to be hard for Christians around here in a minute. No, it's going to be hard for you with God. He said, don't fear him who can just kill the body. Fear him who can throw both body and soul into hell. I I'm scared now. You think I'm getting off here like, Lord, what you want me to do? Here's what he wants us to do. Watch, I'll show you what he wants you to do. Who knows? He says, who knows whether or not if you do all of this, whether or not he will turn and relent and leave the blessing behind, the grain offering, the drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet then. He says, in other words, he's saying, if you repent, if you actually show up with your whole heart. Now, I'm not talking about just showing up to the worship service and because they say, raise your hand, because they say, clap, clap, then they say, sit down, sit. You know, show up with your heart. When you show up somewhere with your heart, they may not be able to stop you. They may not be able to sit you down. We may have to step over you while we continuing on with the service. But when your heart is rent, when you're wrecked by God, when you're touched by God, when you're trying to touch heaven with all you have, you can't be stopped by man, because you came here to pursue him. You came here to receive from him. You came to get under an outpouring. And if you can't get an outpouring in church, my God, where can you get one from? He said, blow the trumpet in Zion. I'm blowing. This is what my job is. It's the prophetic voice to this house. I am blowing this trumpet. I am not going to be guilty of you standing at judgment one day and saying, my pastor didn't tell me it was no problems. No, I told you this on the records. You can do this on the record book. It's a problem. He didn't tell us, Lord. We sorry. We didn't know. No, I'm telling you. It's on the, and now it's recorded in heaven. I'm off the hook. Hey, I got that weight off. I'm relieved. I'm going to sleep good tonight. I didn't sleep last night, but I'm going to sleep good tonight. He says, consecrate and fast. Call a solemn assembly. That's a holy assembly. It's called. Yeah. He said, gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children. All in our house when we was growing up, when we was fasting and consecrating, everybody consecrated. The dog did. The kid. Everybody can give up something. Now, you may be too young not to eat, but you can give up your toys. Even the nursing infants, wait, he won't. He said, look, this is serious. Maybe you need to take a meal off. He said, let the bridegroom leave his chamber and the bride her chamber. Look how serious it is. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord. And make not your heritage a reproach and a byword among the nations. Why should they say that the people were, where is their God? In other words, cry out for the nation. Cry out for the schools. Cry out for your church. Cry out for your family. You have a problem, but you cannot solve it out there. You've got to solve it down here in church. Call a solemn assembly. When Hezekiah tried to get all of the people together, they wouldn't listen to him. They wouldn't come. And destruction came. He tried to get them together again. And God said, okay, I'll still bless you. His answer is not going to change. He tried to assemble the people back then. He's still trying to assemble us to crowd out all of the other noise. A life and focus. Guess what? Some of those other things can wait. Wait, let them wait. Let them wait. Inconvenience yourself for God, because if you can get a word, you can initiate and activate an outpouring. Seeing the problem clearly will push you to the solution. It's prayer, and it's not going to change. That's why the words are up. I just decided maybe if we put the words up, we wouldn't forget. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all day. We're not going to stop. Well, you know, the nation's going through some troubles. We don't know how it's going to end. Oh, I do. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. That's how. That's when, that's where it's accomplished. Last point, positioning for the pouring. Give me that next verse. Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. When you start showing up, God said, okay, wait. The very thing I love, I got people who want to fight for it with me. Oh, gosh. Because I never abandoned what I love and created. I never gave up on it. I'm just not going to divorce myself from the process. I'm going to work through these people. He's powerful enough to do it without us. But he decided, I'm going to do it in them, through them, with them. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I'm sending you grain, wine, oil. You will be satisfied. I'm going to take care of you. You mean to tell me you focused on my business? Let me start by telling you I'll take care of yours. Your mind is on me? Oh, then my mind is on you. You mean all your requests are about the nations? All the requests are about the schools and the wickedness being eradicated? Let me tell you something. You will never lack. You'll be satisfied. And I will no more make a reproach among the nations. I will remove the northerner far from you. Who bother you? Baby, what's wrong? Who bothering you? I'll drive him into a parched and desolate land. His vanguard into the east of the sea and the rear guard into the west of the sea. The stench of the foul smell of him will rise, for he has done great things. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Fear not, you beast. Don't worry about it. Tell your dog it's going to be all right. Or your cat. For the pasture of the fields are green, the trees bear fruit, the fig trees and the vines, they're full yield. Be glad, O children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for your abundant rain, the early and the latter rain as before. You want a word? He's saying it's all coming together. All of my blessings at one time. Everything you was anticipating, you turning to me with your whole heart. Everything I said hadn't changed. You just needed to get here to figure it out. It hadn't changed. To quit fighting me. Said the threshing floor shall be full of grain. The vat shall overflow with wine and oil. I will restore to you the years. You better hear this word. That the swarm of locusts that came the year before have eaten up. I'll take back all of the victories of the enemy in our society where it looks like the devil has won and God has been kicked out. I'll give a man a vision called God's Not Dead, and I'll cause something to rise up out of nothing that shouldn't even be there. And I'll cause it to be a praise to my name, and I'll cause the generation to say, if he can win, I can win. If he can stand up, I can stand up. I can do all things through Christ. I'll start being for people who I said I was from the beginning. He said, the locust, whatever the locust ate, the hopper ate, the destroyer, the cutter, that great army that I sent among you, you shall have plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord who has dealt wondrously, and my people shall never again be put to shame. Ye shall know that I am in the midst of you. And I am the Lord your God, and there is none other. And you shall never be put to shame. God is restoring. Stand to your feet. He's a restorer. 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 Oh my God, he's a restorer. He's a restorer. He's a restorer. The last part of that verse is the greatest prophecy in Joel 2. It's according to Acts 2 as well. And he says, in the last days, after all that positioning, I'm going to give you the pouring on that word. He said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men to see vision. Your old men to see dreams, have dreams. And then it goes on as the last day. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved. You know, they had a word early on to receive the Holy Ghost. They had a word about who Jesus was. They had a word to go into all the world. But he told them to wait. Go to Jerusalem and pray and worship me until you get positioned correctly for an outpouring. Because you won't start and stop then. When they came out of that moment with God, 3,000 people got saved. Thousands of people get saved when you're under the outpouring. So stop counting yourself out and start counting yourself in. This is the greatest season in your life, not to just be somebody, but to be God's man. I want Pastor Randy and Upper Venue and Ernie to join me. And this is our call to discipleship. If you're here today, I'm going to ask everybody to bow your head, close your eyes, and call. call to discipleship is simply a call to follow Jesus. And to follow Jesus, you need help. Jesus said it's not good for man to be alone. So he made a woman for him. If it was enough to just have you and God, he would have made it that way. But he wants you to have him and people. And coming down to an altar is about learning to walk with another person who can help you follow Jesus. This is beyond just getting saved. You need to get saved, you're going to come down. That means confessing Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life for the first time or coming back to him. But maybe you can't walk this life victoriously because you're walking alone. But today, we're going to solve it. So this altar call is for all. Those who are getting saved, those who are coming back to the Lord, but those who are saying, I'm not going to walk alone anymore. So if that is you in any way, I just want you on three to raise your hand. One, two, three. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hands down. Let's take a minute. Ministry team, come on down and stand with me. If you're here today, I will just praise God for about 20 seconds. And if you raise your hand and you want to answer this call to discipleship, I want you to come on down and let us pray with you. Go ahead. Let's just praise God as we end the service. Hallelujah. If you raise your hand, come on down. Let me pray with you right now. If that was you, come on and praise the Lord. Thank you. Oh, thank you, my brother. Right here. Praise the Lord. Love you. Anyone else? Anyone else? You raise your hand. That's either to get saved. You just want somebody to walk with you. Come on. I'm going to walk with you. We're going to walk with you. We love you. We're going to walk with you. We love you. Thank you. We're going to walk with you. We love you. We love you. We're going to walk with you. Jesus loves you. We're going to walk with you closer. We're going to walk closer with you. We love you. Is anybody else? Come on, just praise God just a moment. Anybody else? Thank you. We love you. We're going to walk closer with you. Come on. Come on. We got time. Come on. Just a moment. Come on. We love you. We love you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you too much to leave you out. He loves you too much to leave you out. Anybody else? He loves you too much to leave you out. Too much to leave you out. God bless you. Okay, you can. Lord, I pray as we leave this place and not your presence, you keep us safe in the center of your will and Zappa Yibai. And we'll give you praise for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. See you at 6 in the morning. Call assembly. Y'all see y'all in praise on that. See, that's supposed to go out like, yes, Lord. Or 12. Just consecrate. God bless you.